We thank God. Hallelujah. It's a great privilege and an honor to be here to share the word of God with you. I bring greetings from Jersey City. See, because I'm here, the weather is nice here, right? Glory to God. We thank God. We brought the weather of Jersey City over. Greetings from Jersey City. My wife sends her greetings. She couldn't come today because she's the Sunday school director at our church, and there's a lot she has to do for today. So she couldn't come today. I know I'm speaking next week, so you see her next week, God willing. Glory to God. Brother Darren has been a blessed person in my life. The Lord has used him tremendously in my life, and he loves to support me everywhere I go. So today we are here to spend and worship with you. I want to say a good thank you to all of you, especially the board members, for the opportunity to come and speak to you. God bless you so much. Amazing, amazing. This morning, you know, we are in the house of God, right? We've come to encounter Jesus. We've come to encounter Jesus. I bet all of you have stories to tell of how good and great and awesome Jesus is. But every time we come in his presence, the word of God says that there's fullness of joy. He does something new in us, with us, that we can be a blessing to reach the rest of the world. So today, be excited. I love it. As I came here, there's a lot talk on prayer. There's a lot talk on prayer. Good. Be excited. Have an expectation. And look at what God is going to do. However you've come here today, I believed there's something here for you to go home with today. Glory to God. And with that, shall we just share a short prayer before I start speaking? Glory to God. Our Heavenly Lord, God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify you. Father, thank you for this time you've made for us to hear your word. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're about to do. Thank you for what you're doing with West Hudson, oh Lord. We bless you and we worship you. We pray, Lord, we open up to you, that you will speak to us. You will touch us and be a blessing. Touch us to be a blessing. Give us that which we need to be a blessing, that in the end, your name alone will be glorified. We pray, Lord, that you will take authority of the atmosphere, authority of everything that goes on here. Spirit of our living God, we pray you have your way, that in the end, your children will say hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. This morning, I want to speak on prayer. Why have I chosen to speak on prayer? Why is the Lord giving me a message on prayer for you? Because you are at a very, very critical point in your journey as a church. I understand that you are in a process of leadership transition. You know, it is not bad. God has knows what he's doing, and to everything there is an end. But this is the time to seek him. I love that you have prayer meetings coming up. I love it that you're praying and you're seeking God. But most of the time, we love to pray. A lot of Christians pray, but most of the time we don't do it well. So today I want to speak on heaven's blueprint for prayer. When you come to pray, how to pray, how to come before the Father in prayer. You see, many of us are praying. Many of us are talking. We are not seeing results. And sometimes we are made to feel by the devil that our God is a mute God. Our God does not answer prayers. We don't serve a living God. But that is a lie. Because most of the times, we don't do the praying well. There could be many reasons why our prayers are not answered. But majority of the time, we are not praying right. But you see, our Lord Jesus did not call us into a relationship and not care about how to teach us to pray. So while we speak on this subject, I'd like to speak from no other place but Matthew 6, 9 to 13, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord Jesus himself took time to teach us, his disciples, how to pray. In Luke, his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. You see, they had observed Jesus. Jesus came on this earth and lived a certain lifestyle with the Father, a lifestyle of intimacy and oneness and unionness with his Father, so much that they thought, you know what? We like the way this guy relates with God. Let us teach him. Let us ask him to teach us how to pray. Isn't that awesome? That as a Christian, as a servant of God, as a child of God, people can come to you and say, can you teach me how to do this as a Christian? That is a good mark. And they saw prayer. They saw how he prayed. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So in Matthew chapter 6, I believe Matthew chapter 6 is the original writing of the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus was speaking. He was speaking and he taught them to pray. And Luke also records this, but he doesn't finish it. So when you look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, this is what the word of God says. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, our Lord be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Other translations say, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Glory to God. This in itself is prayer. Also, when you spend time to study it, you realize that the Lord is laying down a pattern of praying, how to talk to God. So many people say, what is prayer? Prayer can simply be defined as communication with God, talking to God. But I want to take it further and say that prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is heaven giving, is earth giving heaven license to influence earthly affairs. What do I mean by earth giving heaven license to influence earthly affairs? God, when you study the word of God in Genesis, the word of God says that God created humans. He created humans, and he gave them dominion over the earth, and he blessed them, and he said, influence the earth, take authority and rule the earth. By God doing this, he gave humans the rightful authority of earth, meaning that nothing else could come and operate on earth except a human allows that thing to operate. So, knowing God very well, that he says that he does not speak and go back on his word, he had given the right to human beings to hold and manage the affairs of earth. But what did human beings do? We sold it to the devil. We didn't actually sell it. What was the price? Apple. A fruit. We gave that right to the devil. You see, even he knew that he couldn't come and just impose his will. He came through humans. He tried to have a relationship with women, humans. And when they accepted his ideologies and his deeds and his leadings, he got his way. So from this, you realize that it takes, when human beings pray, when we pray, we are not just talking to the Father. You are actually saying that the Father should come and be the God that he's supposed to be on this earth. We understand that he created us, he created everything. But when you say you come to him and you talk to him, you are allowing him to take authority and influence in the affairs of human doings. That is awesome. That makes prayer the most important thing any human being can do. But you know what? It is the most important thing and the least thing human beings do. And no doubt, look at the world we live in now. Human beings have the time to do everything else but to pray. We have every excuse not to pray. And it is the most important thing a human being can do when we pray and ask God to take control and affair in the affairs of human doings. Why? Why? So you are looking for a senior pastor. You are looking for a new leader. This is the time to spend in prayer. This is the time to pray. I know, look, my church has been through leadership transition. So I understand how you feel. But don't let your emotions get the best of you. It is the time to pray. It is the time to seek God. And when you come to pray, let us see what the Lord Jesus is saying. So when you study the passage, you see that there are four major patterns to which the Lord is introducing prayer. First, the first point I want to point on is praise. When you look at the verse 9, he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Our. What does he mean by saying our? I want to focus on this. Our. There are three major points that can be derived from the word our. Our breathes plurality. More than one. More than one. That means that when we pray, the Lord Jesus is saying that be concerned for the corporate needs of everyone. Don't come to the Lord alone. Our Father. It should never be for ourselves, but corporately. The next thing you can see here is, in the kingdom of God, it is more important to pray for people's success than us. It is important to pray for other people's success than my success. And thirdly, prayer is never intended for selfish motives. Why are you coming to the Father? Why are you praying? Is it so that you have the best of earthly things? I wanna be the most richest person on earth so that people can come and bow at me. You know, I also wish I had the best mansion in this community so that people can see that me too, I have it. So you pray for God's blessing. That is not the point. It is not for selfish ambition. It is not for selfish ambition. You see, I want us, when I'm talking on this prayer, the Lord wants our thinking and our total being and understanding about prayer to change. I'm not introducing another way to pray. I'm introducing a lifestyle for the child of God. For the child of God. Why do you pray? Why do you pray? And then he goes on and he says, Father. Our Father. The word translated Father there is Abba. Abba. Abba, which means source, sustainer, or progenitor. Source. So when you come and you say Father, you are saying, my source, my provider, my sustenance, my everything. The world was formed by God. And when you come, you are saying, my everything, my source of life, my provider, the one that made me, my creator, I come seeking you, my Abba, my provider, my source, which means that we have to approach God as the source of everything as human beings. See, now I believe you have started doing it already, praying for a senior pastor. Now you are not looking for humans to bring you a pastor. You are now looking for God to bring his man. You are approaching, you know, your pastor, your next leader is not on this earth. Even though he's a human being that will come, you need to see that the Father will bring us a pastor. The pastor is not some whatever pastor. It's not the ideology of my own pastor. It is the one that is coming from heaven. You don't have food in your fridge. You don't have water to drink. You don't have money to pay your bills. The things that you are coming to the Father for, you need to understand that they are not on this earth. They are not from this earth. My Father When you read Genesis chapter 4 verse 6, the word of God says, and because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father, my source, my source. So there's something within you that calls out to your source in heaven. See, yesterday I was having a conversation with a scientist, and he said to me, when you actually know science and you are studying this earth and humans and the nature of humans and that, there is no way you can claim that there is no God. Unless you yourself, you choose to say, I refuse that there's, because the things they find, the things they understand, they can't get their minds around it. This world was created by somebody. Someone. And he's your father. The earth was created at God's commandment. And this person is your father. He is your source. He is your everything. You can depend on him. You can depend on him. What are you looking for? It is not on this earth. When you see that what you're looking for is not on this earth, you will run to the Father. Everything we need is not on this earth. So we will run to the Father, who makes earth a place to live. We will run to him. And he says, and you see, God, by this, make sure nobody takes that which is his glory. You remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar? When he tried to get everyone to worship him, what happened? God caused him to end up in the wilderness, eating the food of animals. God will reduce you to nothing if you refuse to accept that he is your provider. He is the source of all things. He is the breather of human life. He will reduce you to nothing. So that's something to look out for. And he says, in heaven. This means that earth needs heaven. In heaven. The word of God says that heaven is the throne room of God, and the earth is his footstool. Heaven is where our Father is. Heaven is where he dwells. When we approach God, we must understand that our source is not on earth, but from heaven. Heaven. This makes earth a resource. If we see it that way, it makes earth a resource, not a source. Not a source. So the job that we do does not take care of us. The job that you have, the profession that you have, does not take care of you. Your managers do not provide for you. You see, the word of God says that human shall give into our bosom. So God will use human beings to be a blessing to you. It doesn't mean when God is using a human being to be a blessing to you, that person is your God now. That person is your source. That person is whom you look up to for everything. No! And a lot of people are getting this wrong. Because of that, we have placed people higher than God in our life. What people say is important to us than what our Father says, than what our source says. No. 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 It is not any human. It is not. It is not. My job does not provide for me. And when you see it that way, you see that your husband is not the end of your life. I'm not saying women don't respect your husbands. No. I am saying that he's not the end of your life. Likewise, your wife is not the end of your life. I got the opportunity of growing up in UK. And British lifestyle is such a way that it is family first. And in US, since I came to the USA, I'm also seeing that it is family first. It is good. As people, we are called to be responsible for our homes, but we need to understand God is the head of our homes. So it is, we don't make decisions that favors our family and dishonor God in our life. No. God must be the head in the home, in our family affairs. I actually have a friend who was supposed to be here with me. He sent me a text and said, I can't come. My wife's mother is sick and we have to go and be with her. I understood that. I understand that. But part of me was saying, come on, man, you are missing an opportunity. The word of God says that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Do you know that coming here could be the source of the breakthrough? So please, do not place your family before God. Do not place your relationships before God. Do not look up to anything on this earth for sustenance. So you trade your place with God. Young people here, young adults here, you are looking for a husband. You are looking for a wife. You have met a woman. You are in a relationship. Do not place that relationship above the God who has called you to live for him. Live a pure and a holy life. Live a life that honors him. Make your decisions based on the word of God, not on what humans want. When you go to work, watch the things your managers tell you to do. Your ethics are not on this earth. Your ethics are from the Father. The Bible, what the Bible says is what you obey. Is it because of the pay they will give you? No, it shouldn't be that. If I don't do this, I will offend my manager and I will lose my promotion. You've missed the mark. Your manager is but a human being, another creation just like you. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when you look at God like this, all you need to do is to do what? Praise him. Praise him. So then now, when I say that the first thing to do when we come into the presence of God is to praise him, you will understand soon why I say that. I praise you, my Father. You see, the Father also breathes intimacy. My Father. Suddenly he turns. I pick up my son from school. And when I go, sometimes he would be so busy playing with his friends. Then he would see me. He would turn and see me. Then he would be, Daddy! Then he would be running to me. And when he's coming like that, I get this feeling within me that is so unique. My son is shouting and running to me. When you run to the Father like this, he stops for you. He pays attention to you. What do you want, my son? Intimate. Intimacy. And most of us Christians don't desire that intimacy with the Father. And so even the way we come to the Lord praying, it's a joke. I have been in the church all my life. I was raised in the church. And I have seen the way people approach God in prayer. Even coming to church. You are late. You are coming to church late. You know you are late. 10 minutes late, 20 minutes late. And you are still there strolling about. You're walking into church. Come on. And you enter and everybody is worshiping. That is then that you want to greet everybody. Hello, my brother. How are you doing? You know we are worshiping God. What are you doing? And then you come and you know, you have to do your tie. And everybody is watching you. You have now become a distraction. A distraction in the presence of God. It's easy for you to be blown away, you know. It's easy for us to be blown away. Don't come if you don't want to be here. But when you have come, do the right thing. The call to come and live for God is not compulsory. But when you accept him as your Lord and personal Savior, when you come to understand that, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for me, you need to change your ways, your attitude, the things you used to do, you need to put them aside. When we say worship, it is not when the musicians stand here. No. It is not. It is a lifestyle, an attitude. That's why the word of God says that we should be transformed from our minds. Religion has taught us certain things, but when you start studying the word of God, you realize, hold on, this is wrong. This is wrong. Prayer. Prayer is intimate. It is special. So treat it with intimacy. Treat it with respect. Treat it with some honor. You are dealing with a supreme God. Now look at the B part. Purpose. The next thing you want to do when you're coming to the Lord. The word of God says purpose. Verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. When we pray, it should not be our own interest, but the governance or the rule of God to come on earth. What do I mean by this? The kingdom come. When you read Romans 4:17, the word of God says, Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is all these things. It is the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the beauty of God, the holiness of God. That is what the kingdom of God is. And when you are coming to the Father, when you are praying, understand that you are praying, you are asking him for that which makes him the God that he is in heaven to come down on earth. You see, when Jesus was teaching this, he was speaking to Israelites who had been broken. When I say broken, they were being ruled and led by the Roman Empire then. And the Roman Empire had torn Israel to nothing. They had reduced them to nothing. They were controlling them. And they were in poverty. And Jesus is telling them, when you pray that this system that you are in, that is not the perfect will of God for you to be changed. So when you see it like this, when you come before God, it should be that you are praying for a whole nation to change. You are not just praying for things to change in your home. You are not just praying for money, your bank account. No, you are praying for the whole national treasury to be changed. Because, you know, when there is money in the system, when there's abundance of money in the system, what happens? Poverty is reduced. But most Christians are so caught up on what we can get from this God, forgetting that we are living in a world that is not perfect. It's not to the way God looked and he said, this is perfect. No. When you are praying, you have to focus. Imagine a whole nation where there is no broken homes, where there is no prostitution, where the nightclubs are closed and all we do is worship God. The kingdom come on earth. The goodness of God should come on earth. So when you are praying for this community, don't limit yourself to what you think to be good. Lord, let your kingdom come, your agenda for our community be established. Lord, let your agenda for our church be established. You know, God will bring you a pastor because he has an agenda for this community that can be fulfilled through that pastor. So when you are praying for the kingdom and the system to be changed, you are literally praying for the well-being of all. You are praying for the well-being of all. Your will mean your purpose and your intent. Jesus is saying when you pray, you should not just pray for your desires, but pray for God's will, God's purpose, or God's intent for you and for the community. Jesus himself is an example. As the Son of God coming to this earth to die, he understood what it meant, what is needed to be done to die. And the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed and wished that he wouldn't have to go through that suffering and the sorrow and the hardship that he was going to go through. But as he spoke to the Father continuously in hours of prayer, he realized that my Father wants me to go through this. So he said, Daddy, not my will, but let your will be done. And the word of God says that angels were sent to minister unto him, to minister unto him, to strengthen him, to encourage him, to empower him. No wonder our Lord was able to go and die on the cross for me and you. Let your will be done. Daddy, let your will be done in West Hudson Community Church. Let your will be done in our community. Let your will be done. You are literally saying, Lord, I surrender to your purpose for our community. Most Christians are coming from a place of pride and arrogance. We are saying the words, but we don't actually mean it, right? We are good at speaking words. I've been in the prayer ministry for a very long time. And when you hear people praying, and you even watch the way they are standing, praying the way they are praying, you know something is not right. It's not connecting in the spiritual realms. You are praying one thing, you are saying one thing, but you are doing something else. Let your will be done. Lord, I am actually surrendering to what you want to be done in our church. I'm surrendering to what you want to be done in my marriage, in my personal life. It's not what I want. You know, I wish I could be a certain kind of person. But Lord, no, I yield to you. You are the Lord. You lead the path and I will follow. What are you saying? That means that early in the morning when you pray, Lord, what is the agenda? You don't go and look for your own, do everything you want. Then you come to God and say, Lord, now bless this. And many Christians are doing this. You get a job, you get about 3 different jobs calling you for interview. You've gone for all the interviews. Now they are all offering the job. And you look at the money they will give you. You look at the things they are presenting. Hey, there is life insurance here. There is healthcare here. These are the things we are using to make decisions as children of God. When you could just say, Lord, what are you saying about these jobs? Which one do you want me? Look, the devil can give you a job. Because you did not ask your Father. So the devil will give you a good job. Then now when you get the job, you say, whoa, my days, what have I got myself into? And that is why most people cannot keep one job for a very long time. After 2 years, 3 years, I want to do something else. And we are complaining about our job. We have issues here and there. The Lord is not our master. We are not treating him as a master. And in your purpose, understand this. Understand this, that you need to humble yourself for him, for his will to be done in your life. God will not bless that which he did not initiate. God would never bless what he did not initiate. But if he initiated it and he sent you, he will be with you. Glory to God. Your will be done. We submit to God's will. Now look, be done. What does be done mean? Manifest. In other words, we want God's will to take effect. I want to see, Lord, what your will is for this church to happen. I want to be here and see the pastor you bring, the pastor that will lead us to win this community. I want to see it with my eyes. Don't say it and don't mean it. I want to see it with my eyes. You see, when we come, we are saying, let your will be done. Manifestation is the end goal. Many people are praying, but we are not looking out for the manifestation of what we are saying. We are praying for healing in the house of God, but people are not getting healed. Why is it so? When you are asking that somebody be healed, are you actually expecting that the person will be healed? Or it's just one of those things. It's a formality, right? Oh, let us pray for him, and casually we pray and we go. No! No! I want to see my sister freed from this illness. I want to see my brother set free from this hardship, from this difficult situation. I want to see this demon in person and opposing my sister's life released from this thing. You have to see it with your eyes. If you cannot see it, it will not come to pass. And when you say, be done, you're saying, Lord, let your will for my brother or my sister be done. I want to see it with my eyes. As it is in heaven. Glory to God. So, as it is in heaven, what does he mean by as it is in heaven? You know, to be able to deal with this, we need to first understand how heaven is, right? And the word of God says so much about heaven. I mean, if some examples are this. Revelations 21:4 says, in heaven there is no sorrow. Another one, Revelations 5:9-13. All that is done in heaven is worship. So when we are saying, let your kingdom come, we are calling for God's worship on this earth. You see, in heaven, there is also abundance. So God has blessed them so much. John got the opportunity of seeing heaven. And when he went, he was astonished with what he saw with his eyes. Kings! On this earth, we worship kings, we bow to kings. And in heaven, kings are with their crowns on their head, worshiping the Creator. Awesome. God has blessed them so much. There is abundance in heaven. The streets of heaven are gold. Oh my days. Streets of heaven is gold. Stones that are not even, he can't describe them on this earth. And Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are so many mansions. He didn't say houses. The $400,000 house we want to buy. No. Forget that. He says mansion. Big, when we talk of mansion, big buildings. 21 bedrooms, 31 bedrooms. They don't know where to sleep. So heaven is a blessed place. Everything in heaven is in abundance. You see, God calls things into being. So when we are saying we want God's kingdom to come like it is in heaven, oh my days, look at what is happening. Abundance. So you see, when you come in prayer and you have this mindset, you will never lack. You will never lack. Because heaven has abundance. The little in heaven is what they will throw to you on this earth. I'm telling you. The little in heaven is what they will throw to you on this earth. And it will be everything to you. It will be everything to me and you. You will see the prosperity in your life. The fulfillment in your life. The peace in your life. The joy in your life. Not just that, in our communities, in our society, the system. Can you imagine a government that is ruled by God? The decisions that will be coming from the White House will not be ones that you hear and you cringe like, oh my days, what's happening? It's possible. If it were not, our Lord would not say we should pray for. So now, come to your physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 11. Daily, enough for the day's need. Protection against stress. Protection against stress. Our Lord could have said, give us this 16 months our daily bread, or 2 months our daily bread, or next week our daily bread. No. He said, today's daily bread, just what I need for today. If you think like that, you will be free of the stress that you go through. Me and you, we will be free of the stress that we go through. You see, it is good to plan. But we need to understand that we live on a daily basis. We will be judged according to the decisions we are making now, the things we are doing now. We are not going to be judged according to the sin we want to commit 11 months to come. No. So we should rid ourselves of all stress. Our Lord Jesus, speaking on this subject, says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 to 34, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Do you see why we are suffering? The Lord is saying, don't worry about tomorrow. And we are worrying about tomorrow. My child's school fees. My 3-year-old kid, I'm now thinking of his this thing, educational, his college funds and all that. Excuse me? It's not bad to plan. But we need to understand that the plans that we are making is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to focus on today. My daily bread for today. My daily bread. So what does he mean by bread? Bread is a Hebrew idiom. It's a symbol. The bread is a symbol. That means everything you need. Everything you need. Everything you need. So everything you need as a human being to be a human being today. The health. The water, the food, the mind to think, the wisdom, the ability to relate with other people, the reasoning, the vision, the purpose. What you need for today. Bread also means everything for life, health, and godliness. What I need to live a righteous life, to please God today. Bread. Bread also means ideas. You are a business person. You're thinking of what to do. How do I actually lead, make income today? God will give you the ideas for the daily basis. That meeting you are going, what you will say, how the business people will accept your business strategy. That is what God cares about. Just for today. You are a student here. You are at school. You are studying. The knowledge and the understanding of what you are studying. The ability to retain the knowledge you are studying. My bread for today. What it takes to survive today. Those times, bread was what they eat most of the time. Now, it could probably be, what? Spaghetti. It could probably be your burger. God, give me my burger for today. Meaning my food. What I need to survive as a human being. What you need to survive. So as a church, when you come praying, pray for the better being of everybody here. Lord, as a church, what we need to make it. Don't have ambitions that are above you. It is not wrong to have the ambition, but don't chase the ambition. Chase the supreme God who will let the ambition come to pass. And you will be free of worry and stress. You will be. And then he goes on. Spiritual needs. And give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, it is natural for human beings like us, living on this earth with the devil on this earth, to sin against God, to offend God, to do things that does not glorify God. But he says, when you are living this life, have a mindset of asking for forgiveness. Some of us think we are right before God. I'm right. I haven't sinned. So sometimes you come to church and the leader is asking, pray for forgiveness. I didn't sin. I didn't know. Look, God's standard. He's so pure. He says, I am holy and I hate sin. God's standard is very high. He himself says it in his word that on that day, on the day of judgment, there are certain sins he will permit. Because if he were to hold us to the standard that he wants us to live, none of us will survive and make it. So that means that as human beings, we need to understand that there are tendencies within us that does not honor God all the time. But humble yourself, submit yourself and say, Lord, in any way I've offended you, forgive me. Forgive me. You see, he has made way for us to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the Calvary cross. The word of God says that he was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the enemy. So the work of the devil has been destroyed by Jesus. Jesus has the key over life and death. Jesus has the key over sin. Jesus has come that we will connect with the Father like this. And which is why the Father says, if anyone confess their sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive them. So we have to be encouraged. Every time you come before the Father, ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Father, forgive me. There might be things you've done that you don't even know it was a sin. Ask him for forgiveness. For the ones you are aware of and the ones you don't know of. And he goes ahead and says, as we forgive our debtors, the debtor here is somebody that could have caused an offense to you. It could mean somebody that owes you money. But in other manners, somebody that has offended you. As human beings here, over here, as brothers and sisters, some of you could offend. The person might not even know they have offended you. And in some cases, the person knows they have offended you. I will get there. But the point here is this. That don't hold, as you are asking God for his forgiveness, do not hold the offenses that other people commit against you against them. For if you want your forgiveness from God, you have to learn to forgive others. This should remind you of how the Father feels about us all the time when we are offending him. You see, this then makes forgiveness a conscious effort. It is not an act. You need to decide to forgive. Because there might be times somebody has offended you and you don't even know you are offended. But in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit will bring anything to light that is not right before God. So you might remember. Also, not just that, the devil will remind you of the offense. You are not worthy to be in the presence of God. But in that moment, that's not the time that you get up and say, oh, I'm going to put. No, you decide that I choose. This person did this to hurt me and offend me, but I choose not to hold it against the person. And once you have done that, the practicality is to then go look for the person and make amendment. It might work sometimes. Not all the time that the person will accept or even understand that they've hurt you. No, but it is a decision you need to make. I choose not to hold this against my brother. And as a church, whatever your former senior pastor has done to hurt you or offend you, whatever he said he did that you are holding against him, this is the time to let go. Forgive him. Let go. Because you want God's new man to come and lead you. And you see, in addition to what is written here, I also want to say, don't make yourself a debtor. What do I mean by don't make yourself a debtor? There are Christians who cause problems everywhere they go. Deliberate offenders. Is this person is he really Christian? We gossip, we lie, we slander, all the things. We do it to hurt ourselves. Put it aside. Don't be that kind of person. Don't be that kind of person. Where everywhere you go, people have problem with you. Why? A child of God. When Jesus came to this earth, and everywhere he went, people were running to him for freedom. When people hear you as a Christian coming, they are running away from you. You should know it's a problem. People are chatting. When they hear you coming, hey, let's keep quiet. He's coming. People don't want to let you into their life because the little you hear, you take it away. Adapter. We are brothers and sisters. We are supposed to love one another, care for one another, hold one another. The word of God says that be each other's keeper. Lead us not into temptation. God does not lead us into temptation. God does not lead us into temptation. The word of God says in James 1:13-14, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticement. I want this. I like this. So the enemy also creates opportunities for you to have that thing you are looking for. That is temptation. God will never place you in a position where he knows it's above you. And he says, deliver us from the evil one. That is what Jesus came to die for. Our deliverance. Our deliverance from anything that is evil. I've already said that he said, the word of God says that he was made manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil. So anything that is evil, Jesus has the power and the authority over. And he says that he would deliver you out of it. So then you can pray for God's deliverance. Your sickness that you are in, if you are confused, if you are living in fear, if there is a particular illness you are facing, you're battling with, if there is any sin you are battling with, if there is a lifestyle you want to get rid of, I want to be able to worship God, but I can't worship God. Anything, if there is a place you find yourself where it does not agree with the word of God, if it is you yourself, you know I'm under the control and the influence of the evil one, God says he will deliver you. So, you know, this should make you very confident when you're asking for his healing. My dear sister, you are healed, okay? It is done. Don't give cancer a voice in your life. The enemy will try to tell you it is not done, but believe the corporate anointing that is here and hold on to it. And when he starts, declare the word of God. I am healed. Jesus says it, I am. Jesus says it, I am. Shut him up. Don't give him a conversation opportunity in your life. Children of God, many of us are under the devil's control, under the influence, and under the oppression of the devil because we give him a voice in our life. Push him away and he will go. He said, the word of God says, resist him and he will flee. So the moment he starts, you put up a resistance. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He was about the Father's business. And every time he came across that which was wrong and against the word of God, he stood against it firmly. So you don't give room for the enemy. And when you live like this, the freedom that God declares for me and you will start to show in your life. It will start to show in your community. Everywhere you go, God will use you to be a blessing, because God has not blessed you for yourself. He has blessed you for the common good of all. That is why we are called. He gave his only begotten son that he might die for all of us. And that is what it is in the kingdom. All. When you think of the anointing that is upon you, it is not for you, it is for somebody. When you think of the calling that you have, it is not for you, it is for somebody. So when you're praying for God to increase your anointing upon you, you are not asking him for your own personal gains. Oh Lord, anoint me so that me too, when I walk and I'm touching people, people are falling, people will say, I carry the power of God. You've got it wrong. You've got it wrong. Children of God. He wants us to come to him. He loves us tremendously. Words cannot describe the Father's feeling for us. And we have to yearn for him. We need to seek him. We need to worship him. We need to adore him. We need to praise him. We need to live a humble life of repentance, submission to him. And trust him in everything we put before him. That he will do the best in it. And while we do this, we will never lack. He is the God of abundance. He is the supreme God who called things into being. The earth is held together at the Lord's commandment. So in actual manners, if things are falling apart in your life, see, when I said the bread also represents spiritual life. The word of God. All you need is a word from God. He says that when I speak, my word do not go and come back to me void. So all you need when you get, you say, Lord, give me a word for this season. Lord, give me a word for this season. And when the Lord gives you a word and you hold on to that word, it starts to create around you. It starts to perform around you. It starts to change situations around you. Father, I need a word. Father, West Hudson needs a word. This is the time where the intercessors here, you should be seeking for a word from God. You should be seeking God's prophetic word for this church. And board members, when you meet, please, I know you have your kind of pastor you are looking for. Everybody has something they want. But be open to God's will. Be open to God's will. Don't be intimidated by the resumes that you see. Spend time in prayer. Individually and corporately. This is the time where you, the leaders here, you should go further than the members. If the members here are praying 48 hours a day, you should be praying 68 hours a day. Because if you choose the wrong leader for them, can you imagine? But because God is good, you will not make the wrong choice in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're going to spend some time in prayer. And I want to pray with those of us struggling with our prayer life. The leadership is here. The prayer team is here. We want to pray with you. Lord, increase us in prayer. Teach us to spend time with you in prayer. Help us to do the right thing in prayer. Have a total change of mind and attitude towards prayer. Love to spend time with the Father. And you will see the great things he will start to do. Father, start praying. Talk to the Lord. Don't wait for the music. Father, we want you. We need you. We want you to have your way in our life. And while we are praying, if you feel you have any prayer need, as the music is going on, you can come forward. The prayer team will pray with you. We will pray with you that we will live a life full of prayer, a life full of the power and the grace of our Lord Almighty. Let us pray in Jesus' name. And pray that God will give us a church. As a church, he will give us an anointing to pray. Prayer is an anointing. You need it. Lord, increase my prayer level. Pray in the name of Jesus. Increase me that I can spend time with you in prayer. Increase me that I can pray rightly. Increase me that I would love to talk to you in Jesus' name. Pray in Jesus' name. Father, do a new thing.